Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. So we will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat or just because they're a Republican and you voted that way your entire life, well, just maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there that are working for your benefits, and we're going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them speak. We're going to let you ask them questions. We're also going to be discussing the education system, the military, science, sports, music, the movies. Ah, yes, healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Is your 26-year-old still on the family's health care plan? Or as the Progressive Party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word in everything. From the cities, the counties, the state, the nation, the entire world. So sit down. Get a pencil, paper, and take a graduate education experience, and we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Let's go on with matters the weather, of course, when it's in season.
Now, Marse, I need some ideas if I'm going to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City ain't in any trouble.
We're going to have to create some. Must create a desperate need in your town for a boys band. So why does everybody keep rubbering into the billiard parlor?
Oh, they just got in a new pool table.
They must have seen a pool table before.
No, just billiards.
That'll do it. You just sit where you are, and remember, if you see that music teacher... Are you Mr. Dunlop?
Yeah?
Well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help me cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a bop-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting dandelions pulled or the screen door patched or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt tail young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubabs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with Sansan one fine night. They leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory, libertine men and scarlet women, and ragtime, shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, mass hysteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Oh, yes, oh.
Right here in River City.
Right
with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Pool.
We've surely got trouble. Right here in River City.
Right
got to figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, heed that warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he starting to memorize jokes from Cap'n Billy's whiz-bang? Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. Aha, and so's your old man. But if so, my friends, trouble.
Oh, yes,
right here in River City.
Right here in
with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
We've
surely got trouble.
Trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth Rock, and the Golden Rule.
Right,
oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's
oh, yes, we got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yes, we got trouble.
With a
T.
Right here.
the city. It's D.C. City. That's when he got the bull. Now, you know, River City is actually D.C. We didn't have any of these problems. None of them. Everybody was just moping around, doing their thing. Yeah, going to the head, a little bit of larceny here and there. When the music man came, DJD, Donald J. Trump, when he came, he asked the question, what's going on here? We have to make a little trouble right here in D.C. City. We have to make a little trouble. I'm going to show you how we're going to make a little trouble. Is that guy from this country? No. We need to make sure that people know he's not from this country. Even if he is from this country. That's what he did. But he's not the music man. The music man was nice. The music man was the type of person that, hey, he's had a little bit of stuff, a little bit of problems he had. That's all he had. Music man had just a little bit of problems. That's all. The music man would just have a little thought. But Donald J. Trump, he wasn't in it for sport. He was in it for money. That's what he was in it for. That's right. Donald J. Trump was in it for money. And don't let no one fool you. Yes, he was in it for money. That's right. Donald J. Trump was in it for money, honey. I mean, there were so many things that this man got involved with. There were so many things that he got involved with that were so outrageous and so outlandish. But, you know, it's catching up to him. The judge ruling with the about the January 6th panel has put a clinker in Donald J. Trump. Put a clinker. The ruling earlier this week rejecting Donald Trump's claim of massive document prevention that he wanted, that Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat member of the House panel, said the challenge for Trump's legal team now will be to convince a higher court to reverse U.S. judges Tanya Chutkan's ruling. I thought it was brilliant and devastating opinion for Donald J. Trump and his fading hopes of burying the truth, Raskin said. It was just meticulous on facts and statutory arguments and constitutional arguments. Of course, the Trump legal team quickly appealed. Try to stop the release of all the documents. But there's going to be some documents that was too late to stop that will be out there, and they can't call them back. I mean, it's like saying, I was speeding and stopped by a policeman. Let me throw up and get rid of this alcohol. But it's too late for that. You got caught. Executive privilege. Now, How can you be, or how can you still have executive privilege if you're not the president? How is that even possible? He's saying that he's, because he was the president, he is president now, before, and forever. Are you kidding me? In the appeal courts, Bogdanovich wrote, President Trump remains committed to defending the Constitution and other offices of the presidency and will be seeing this process through. How is that possible? He's not the president. Trump's legal team is saying that this emergency request to the appellate court was to stop the transfer of all his documents. No, it's your damn documents. It's the country's documents. And Judge Chunkin held late Tuesday that the public interest lies in permitting the House committee to study the events that led to the surge at the Capitol and develop legislation to prevent such an event from occurring again. Oh, and by the way, she said, President Biden has the authority to waive executive privilege because he is the president of the United States. We only have one president at a time. One president at a time. That's all we have. We don't have two. We don't have one that was there before. We don't have one that will be there for us. That's what he wanted. He wants to be president just like the Chinese president is, for life. Just like the man in Moscow wants to be the president for life. They want to change their constitutions where these people cannot be ever be put in a spotlight as committing a crime. Judge Chunkin's expeditious decision on Tuesday was monumentous, and it bodes well for the case to wind his way through the courts in a matter of weeks instead of months. I mean, well, it's so outrageous that people are just looking at this and not seeing what the bottom line is. The bottom line. This is only common sense what this fool wants to do. He wants to extend the big lie further and further and further down your brain that you will now think that it has to be true. I mean, it's just outrageous. It's hard to believe that any courts would go along with this man. You know, the problem Trump has is all the equities are on the other side. The underlying issue is a massive attack on the United States Congress, the United States Capitol, and the American democracy. He's against the wall, established power of the Congress to obtain this information. He seeks for clearly establish a legislative purpose. And people do believe that if he ever got back in the office, it would be the end of constitutional rule. Because all those people, all those Republican congressmen are too far gone. They say the only way to do this is for me to resign and have him put one of his own clowns there. But you see, we will all remember these people who put us in this situation. Just remember who your congressman was and what did he vote for. Was he one of the people that said, okay, hang Mike Pence? Was he one of the people that didn't vote for any infrastructure when they ran for Congress on infrastructure? When for 4 years under that orange person who was in the White House, every single day was infrastructure, every single week was infrastructure week. Why didn't we get it? He said he wanted to put $3 billion in infrastructure. Why didn't it ever even come up? It didn't even come up so Democrats could oppose it. I mean, it's just outrageous. Just remember, all these documents, even these documents that he's trying to get released, if this case could continue the way it's going through higher levels in U.S. court system, including the Supreme Court, the defendants in this case, which also include Committee Chairman Bernie Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi, the National Archives, the custodians of previous administration White House records, are arguing against any further delay in release of these records. And if the select committee that Thompson has put together, if the select committee cannot promptly receive the requested documents, it could run out of time to adequately investigate the attacks thoroughly, I should say, and understands influencing factors. Congress will be less informed and less able to develop the purpose of effective remedial legislation and other measures necessary to prevent the erosion of our democratic institutions for their timely enhancement by Congress. In other words, if these clowns ever took over the Congress, there would never be any resolution to this. They would shut this committee down promptly. There would be no committee. We would never find out who in the Congress was with these people. Who was the first person that knocked on, that broke the glass in the windows, in the door of the Capitol? Who was the first person that rammed against the door? Where was Kevin McCarthy? Why did he say one thing when it was over and say another thing after he met with the orange man? I mean, we need to find out these things. We need to find out these things. And that's a major problem we have right now. We have to find out these things. Why are we in this predicament? Why are we in this predicament? It makes no sense. None whatsoever. Why would people see all this live on TV and then say, I don't think that actually happened? How would they even, why would they even say something like that? Why would they ever say anything like that? I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand why they would say something like that. This is really unbelievable. This is just unbelievable. Now, what was that? We are on the air, aren't we? Yeah, well, I don't know what happened here. We're still on the air, but am I on the air? Okay. Now, see, I don't understand why is that being said. I hope I'm on the air. But still, okay. Up there. So I don't know what happened here. Am I off the air? No? Okay, now we are supposedly back. We are supposedly back. I don't have any idea what went on there. No idea what went on there. And this is, I just don't understand what the heck happened there. We lost the, as usual, something went wrong now I'm having trouble playing my voice here. Now, let's see here. Okay, now we'll get over here. Right, all right. Now, I am going to play something here because I wanted to show why this is the reason why this man did not want, let's see if I can get this come up. All right. Let's see if I, why can't I? Now, let's see if this can come up. Now, it's going to be on. And this, no, it's not. It's going to be in here, I guess. This is really funny. Okay, since I can't do it that way, all right, ladies and gentlemen, just hold on with me, just a minute, and we'll see if we can get rid of this. I'm going to go back here. Come on. It got screwed up when we lost our where the hell we were at for a minute. So I have to find another way to find out my where did I want to play here. It's something from Paul Weyrich, who's the father of conservatism and the Republican Party. He made a come on. Okay, I let's see if it's here. I'm sorry, just hold on just a minute, people. Hold on just a minute. No. Okay, here it is. Now, in order to be the person that Donald J. Trump wants to be, someone like the Chinese president, someone like the Republican president, he needs to be not just a dictator, but an autocrat. And the less people that vote, the more they feel they have a chance to win. Now, this was developed years ago by a guy named Paul Weyrich, who was the real head of the Conservative Party, which bled into the party we have today. This is what the man said.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Now, he's absolutely correct. What he's saying is absolutely correct. It never was the position in this country that everybody voted. That was never the position in this country. You had to be of age. You had to own property. You had to be white. And you had to be a U.S. citizen. That was it. You're the only people that could vote. Everybody else was out in the street. They had nothing to say about nothing. Nothing to say about nothing. Even law enforcement. You had nothing to say about law enforcement. Well, this is what these autocrats want. That's what they want. What can be done about this? What can be done about this? That's another problem. I don't know. You have people like Huckabee that threw his hands up in the air because there were a few gay people coming to his party. His party. Nobody else, his party. Let me just remember what this man said. Listen.
Mike Huckabee has proclaimed that he will leave the Republican Party if they don't fight against gay marriage. Here he is staking his claim.
If the Republicans want to lose guys like me and a whole bunch of... Mm-hmm. Still God-fearing, Bible-believing mm-hmm. people, go ahead and just abdicate on this issue, and while you're at it, go ahead and say abortion doesn't matter either.
Right.
Because at that point, you lose me. I'm gone.
Right.
I'll become an independent. I'll start finding people that have guts to stand. I'm tired of this.
Well, that's...
I mean, he wants... something that's an autocrat. He doesn't want everybody to be able to vote. Neither does the governor of Texas. He wants more people to die. Remember what Goldfinger said to James Bond in the movie Goldfinger when he had him on the table and the ray gun or the beam, the light beam was coming down, was cutting the table in half, and was coming right between Sean Connery's legs. Goldfinger was walking out of the room, and Bond said to him, "Goldfinger, you think this is going to make me talk?" He said, "No, Mr. Bond, I want you to die." He didn't care about anything else, and that's the same thing that these clowns are doing here. Care about how you perceive them. They don't care because to them you have no power. That's us, them. We are them. We have no power. They don't even want us to get vaccinated because they figure that most people that get vaccinated are the people that are against them. That's the way they started out. That way. But most of their people are dying. More of their people have died than our people, people who got vaccinated. More people have died who have not gotten vaccinated than have gotten vaccinated. We have over 1,000 people a day, 10,000 people a day dying. And 90% of them never got vaccinated, but wish they could get vaccinated after they got severely sick. But it was too late. It's too late. And this clown Trump just run his mouth over and over and over again. Like Hitler. Just like Hitler. He sounds just like him. Just like him.
Number one, are you ready? Are you ready? We will build a great wall along the southern border. Mexico will pay for the wall.
Both of them. You couldn't tell which applaud was which applaud. Fanatic was which fanatic. I think, I'm trying to give the man the because I met him once at a, I believe was a cocktail party for Congressman Charlie Rangel, New York, a long time ago. And Trump is here. He wasn't he is not pushing things yet, but he hung out with so many black people and so many black affairs. You thought the guy was in with the crowd, but he wasn't. And when the crowd, I was talking, he came over about six. Seven people, we were in a group talking. He came up to us, said hello to, I forgot who it was. We were in the crowd, we were talking. He said hello to them, said hello to that person. Then he said hello to us and whatnot. And, they laughed at him when he left. They said, he is full of shit. That's what they said. But did you hear his speech? Did you hear the applause? Did you hear Hitler's speech? Did you hear the applause? What's the difference? That's fanatical. That's fanatical. There are so many things he thought out here. This man wants to get rid of the complete Constitution. You can't become a person of his beliefs, an autocrat, and get applause like that. Because I don't believe there's one president that I have voted for that I like every single thing they've done. Not one. Because it shouldn't be that simple. Nobody is that perfect that they believe in everything that you say and do. You might as well run yourself. It's outrageous. And and we're in a bad situation here. We're in a very bad situation. When we have someone like this that's in a position to change every single thing that we have believed in. No conscience at all. It reminds me of a movie I watched one time, which I think it's a Western too, Henry Fonda. It was called The Oxbow Incident. And there's one scene in that movie about conscience that the orange man in the White House never had and never will have. Never. Just listen.
You ought to read this letter, too. You know I can't read. Read it to you. My dear wife, Mr. Davies will tell you what's happening here tonight. He's a good man and has done everything he can for me. I suppose there's some other good men here too, only they don't seem to realize what they're doing. They're the ones I feel sorry for, because it'll be over for me in a little while, but they'll have to go on remembering for the rest of their lives. Man just naturally can't take the law into his own hands and hang people without hurting everybody in the world. Because then he's just not breaking one law, but all laws. Law's a lot more than words you put in a book, or judges, or lawyers, or sheriffs you hire to carry it out. It's everything people ever have found out about justice and what's right and wrong. It's the very conscience of humanity. There can't be any such thing as civilization unless people have a conscience. Because if people touch God anywhere, where is it except through their conscience? And what is anybody's conscience except a little piece of the conscience of all men that ever lived? I guess that's all I got to say, except kiss the babies for me and God bless you. Your husband, Donald.
He said he wanted his wife to get this letter, didn't he? Said there was nobody to look after the kids, didn't he?
Well, that's how it ended. Remember, he said that he feels sorry for all those who know better that are going along with him. Now, that's something. And we have the same situation here. Do you feel sorry for all the people that this man has going along with him? Do you feel sorry for all those people . That's what's going to be a problem here. Do you feel sorry for these people? And I don't know if you will ever feel sorry for some of these people. Because some of these people I just don't know. I just don't know if there ever be the conscience that was needed, big conscience that's needed to run this government. You know, I was talking to my grandson today, Blake, and he was studying Washington, and John Adams said one time that George Washington was going through was just pretending to be president. As John Adams said, that Washington was pretending to be president. He had to be pretending to be president because there had never been a president. So everything that George Washington did was, well, I think this is going to work. I think this is going to work. I need to act like this because the man that comes after me needs to present the same idea. That's why, that's why there was no women. That's why there was no blacks. But they never had power to vote or get involved in politics anyway at that time. But Adam said about Washington, he's pretending to be president. Because he doesn't know how. Because there never was a president before. There never was a format to be president. So you had to pretend to be president and set things down. Bam! This is what this man did when this happened. And that's what the people had to look forward to. They had to look back and see how Washington did the job. Is Donald J. Trump going back and seeing how anybody else did this job? Hell no! He knows what he needs to be an autocrat is to take over the government, and the only way to do that is to pretend that he knows, just like Washington. Now, when he doesn't get this, because this will not work with him, but the person that comes after him is going to be smarter than him, more involved in the government than him, and will have a slicker way to do it than him. So we, the people of the United States of America, need to put these criminals, which they are, in jail. The government, they said there's over 700 people now that they have arrested and have some sort of ticket against going to jail. Over 700. 700 people already who they have that they are going to eventually get. You can't get them all at one time. We know where they are. We know who they are. So we don't have to run out of breath to get this clown or those clowns. We don't have to do that because we know who the hell they are. The truth is out there, and it's coming soon. Michael D'Antano wrote an opinion piece. Saying that the Republican state senator's win shocks political word and himself. Extreme rhetoric by the top GOP members points to sickness in politics. GOP strategists said what Biden approval rating could mean in 2022. He wrote all these different things. But you know what? A domestic threat we've never faced before. Cheney on Trump. The latest Trump allies subpoenaed by January 6th committee, revoking state senators when shocked. All these things these people have written. Michael D'Antano is the author of a book, Never Enough, Donald Trump and His Pursuits of Success. He wrote it with co-author Peter Eisner. And on the book of high crimes, the corruption, impunity, and impeachment of Donald Trump. He wrote in here, stripped of the executive power that once let him evade accountability, former President Donald Trump appears to be losing his fight to keep his secrets from the American people. It's a remarkable development for a man long recognized for his powerful use of secrecy and for those who have yearned for the truth and feared they never would get it. But on Monday, a federal judge blocked the handle of the record relating to his presidency and January 6th insurrection of the House Select Committee investigating the insurrection. As she denied Trump's request, Judge Tanya Chutkan wrote, "Presidents are not kings, and the plaintiff is not president." That's what she said. With these nine words, she addressed the heart of the matter and pushed the former reality TV star closer to the collision with the truth. Of course, Trump will appeal the ruling. But no one is going to go in with him that he can't do it, because during the Nixon, that set the standard. Now we're just getting word here, breaking news, that Steve Bannon has been indicted by the federal grand jury. Let's see what the little fat boy wants to do now. Let's see what he wants to do now. And once you get these, a couple of these leaders, Bannon and maybe the president's chief of staff and one other person, once you put some needles in their butt or arrows in their butt, these people are going to talk like it's going out of style. They're going to talk. So this is really great news. Steve Bannon's been indicted because he wouldn't show up. Why? He wouldn't show up to grand jury because he don't have to. Because Trump is still president according to him. So let's see. I can't wait. See, this is Friday. And, you know, the news doesn't go too much. It goes into the ether, but everybody's going to absorb it, what's going on. Everybody's going to. So Monday is going to be major, major flash time. And remember, Trump did not get reelected. And he has gone to extreme measures to destroy the well-documented and objective truth of his election defeat and replace it with a fantasy of profound corruption that happened at the polls. He's acting like he is still in charge. Trump has gained power, especially the kind of that comes with celebrity, by controlling what you know, the business that produces a blizzard of claims about his fortune, but keeping the variable data private. We don't know how much data he has. This man is a grifter. We don't know what he's got. He's always been a grifter. Not releasing his taxes, which has now been done. So people are getting the glimpses of what this man has done. They know what he has done. Now they need to make everybody else aware of what he's been done. The thing is, this whole life of ducking crimes and everything is going to cost him everything from his day out of jail. Why do you think he keeps doing fundraisers? He's not the president. You think he's going to not do any fundraisers because I got enough when if he runs for president, which I don't think he's going to do. You think, well, he's gonna need to run for president. Hey, let's get some money up. Baloney, what about all the money we sent him already? It's to fight the daggone country in court. He's made $1.6 billion or more in outside earnings. And he's saying that being the president has cost him money. Well, didn't he know that before he went there? Of course he did. He was talking about how much money he could make. But Judge Chunkin, her words, presidents are not kings, is fabulous. Our government is set up with three branches of government to allow checks and balances. You can't have two, because if you had two, they cancel each other. That's why you have three. Was fashioned by those who hated the monarchy and sought to build a resilient democracy. Trump was a president that was least interested in democracy and most envious of the world's dictators and strongmen who are not burdened by that oversight. Judge Chunkin then noted that Trump is not a president. She struck a low blow to whatever the energies, his fantasy, that he might rightfully been owed the seat in the Oval Office. In Trump's, his heart beats a force that refuses to accept certain unhappy realities. Certain unhappy realities. I mean, it's just outrageous. But this is the salvo. This Bannon indictment is the start of the whole cliff starting to cave in. That's what it is. And you watch Just mark my word and watch how many people go down with this man. Just as Trump doesn't possess executive privilege anymore in an office that he says he hasn't left, he no longer has the power to pardon allies who participate in criminal deception on who have participated in criminal deception on his behalf. He also can't get people cushy and prestigious jobs, hang medals on their necks, and treat them to rise in Air Force One. Trump will join the rest of us who will watch to see how his former aides and key supporters respond to subpoenas issued by the Select Committee. Former National Security Advisor and Trump-hardened recipient Michael Flynn, this man should never be called general anymore. Never. And his Will Stepien and the former campaign advisor Jason Miller are among those who have already received subpoenas, according to Chairman Benny Thompson. So we're going to see how many people now. Oh, this is sweet. I just can't keep talking about it. It's sweet. Trump always seemed to wiggle away from the usual checks that keep others on a straight and narrow and appear to have limited options. He cannot promise or even signal a promise of a pardon to other people who face criminal conviction by refusing a subpoena or lying to the authorities. He no longer has that power. Trump would be challenged to provide the lawyers financial assistance or moral support required to help people maintain their refusal. Altogether, the picture suggests that the realities of government are catching up to one of the most creative escape artists ever seen in American politics. The truth is out there, and it's coming for you soon, Mr. Trump. Coming for you soon. And what do you think he's going to say when it comes for him? Hey, nobody out there wants to help me? Nobody out there wants to help me? You think Rudy Giuliani is going to go down? You think he's going to go down, fat old man like him? Do you think any of these people will go down for someone like him who will rat them out in a microminute and possibly rat them out while they're going down? Let's see if they ask for help from him. That's what I want to say. Are they going to ask some kind of help from him? Let's see if someone will ever go down.
Please clap.
Yeah, we need a clap on that. You know, the law is not going to be with him much longer. He's not a racist. Of course he's not. He's not a arrogant dictator. He's not a person that would cut his mother's throat to get himself safe. He's not that type of person. As Adam Schiff said during the impeachment hearings,
"What goes on, the scheming persists, and the danger will never recede. He has done it before. He will do it again. What are the odds, if left in office, that he will continue trying to cheat? I will tell you, 100%. Not 5, not 10, or even 50, but 100%. If you have found him guilty and you do not remove him from office, he will continue trying to cheat in the election until he succeeds. Then what shall you say?"
Well, we're here. What do you say then? I don't know what you're going to say then. Give me a break. All his people, including Meadows, face contempt subpoenas now. All of his people, like Steve Fatboy Bannon, are going to wind up in the same position because they don't have anything to rely on. They no longer have a president. That's why this man has gone berserk and wants to say, "I really won." Because without the court at his back, he knows. Without the power in his hand, he knows. He's convicted. He's convicted. I just like to say that with the time we have left, I wanted to play a little something that I had a very great interview with a friend of mine who's also a great city council member. And I want everyone to understand that I met this young man when he was a little skinny kid. And I say this in the interview because it's a pre-recorded interview. He's not skinny anymore, but he's one of the most, I'd say, profound, intelligent people I have ever met. And when he tells you he's going to do something for you, you can bet your last dollar he's going to do it for you. I had the chance to meet Matt Newton years ago. This is 2021. It had to be 1997 or 2000. Maybe 2000. But I'd like you to hear, we talked about a range of things in this interview. He is now going to run for judge in Mecklenburg County. And he feels that he needs to do this. So I want you to hear this interview. It's about 40 minutes, 43 minutes or so. But just listen to it and please support him. Please help him run for this judgeship. I'm sure that our next guest, Mr. Newton, can give us a lot more of the news. Because, after all, he has been around this city of Mecklenburg County for a hell of a long time as far as being involved with what's going on in the district and what and who has helped this district. Now, I met this young man years ago, and he was skinny. He wasn't eating. He must have been feeding everybody else in the entire district. He was not eating. And I didn't know him from Adam, but he was handing out flyers saying he was running against the state person, which I knew he wasn't going to win, but I took it anyway because he was very nice. And then this guy, beggar on the street, came up to him and or came up to me, and he intervened and said, you know, I gave you money last week or day before yesterday, whatever it was, and you promised that you were going to go. Did you look for the job? He said, no. So Matt said, look, I think he gave him $5 more. He said, I want you to go look for the job. As a matter of fact, when I'm finished here, I'm going to go over there to the office to find out whether or not you even came in. So he said, thank you, Miss Newton, thank you. And that put a very big mark in my head. He was going to do this. I didn't know him from Adam. With it, I met him again at the Democratic Party headquarters and got to talk to him. And I said, this guy is really going to be somebody here in this Mecklenburg County. And I come to find out he's been a lifelong resident of Mecklenburg County. He graduated from Myers Park High School. And he was an attorney. He wasn't married at the time, but he would shortly find someone who grabbed him up. And she did. And he got married. Matt has been involved in a lot of things in this district, especially in District 5, which is the district I'm in, which is Sharon Avenue area and Albemarle Road. And when we speak to him, he'll be able to tell us a lot more. But he is definitely involved in the land use and the community investment and planning of the District 5. And let's see if I can get a hold of him right now. And let's see. Hello, Matt Newton.
Hey, Mike. It's great to
Are you
be
there?
Here. It's always an honor to be on the show. I'm good.
Well,
I'm good. Flattery will get you everywhere. And I have put on
well,
a couple of pounds,
I mean,
but...
I didn't get through explaining all
married.
That. He's not a stick anymore. He's married.
Yeah, I'm
oh,
married
absolutely.
To the best cook in town. So in my defense,
that's right. Absolutely.
My wife
yes.
is a phenomenal cook.
Yes, and she is a good lawyer also.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
She's
I operate in her shadow, frankly. Yeah.
Yeah.
but I.
Well,
I want to
explain that you have gained a few pounds since that day. That was a long time. That had to be, 10 years ago, huh? Was it 10 years ago? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah
maybe,
I think
maybe,
so.
It might be.
Yeah.
This is 20.
It's hard to, you lose track of time, but yeah. Yeah, I think it's been about 10 years, maybe a little bit longer.
And I thought I got that story correct about the beggar that was on the street, and I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that story?
I vaguely remember it.
I remember
it sounds like
stuck
so,
in my mind this whole
yeah.
time.
It
stuck
what
in my mind.
Yeah, so the bulk. So as you were mentioning, I am an attorney, and I've been an attorney for over 15 years. More specifically, a trial attorney. So a large portion of my practice was and still remains devoted to indigent and underserved client work.
Yes.
So I very early on built relationships with local organizations to help my clients, and I guess more broadly speaking, the needy. So that was it sounds like something I would do. I don't specifically recall that exact circumstance, but
it was outside of you were handing out flyers to vote for me. It was right outside of the voting place downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
trying to remember who the gentleman you were running against was a stalwart Democrat in North Carolina, and he was here for years. He also worked in the Obama administration. Obama had him, I believe, he might have been Secretary of Transportation. I can't remember. But I did run into you. It might have been a year or two later. You're running again. And but it always stuck in my mind what you did that time. I said, and that was one of the things I knew you were interested in the community, because I had never seen, as long as I've been here, any politician give anything out of their pocket. Never. Mm-hmm. No matter what they say, I've never seen it. I mean, you come to the office, maybe. I've never seen on the spot. And it stuck in my mind. Tell us some of the things that you have been involved with as far as getting some of the people who have been homeless, these people on the street, and the land you were involved in, and land use also.
Yeah, so preliminarily speaking, I've always believed that we should work as a community to build lives rather than tear them down. There's so many factors and contributors that can undermine a person's success, and we need to do everything we can to bolster people's futures. And so that's always been my perspective. Frankly, so spoiler alert here. I mean, there's a big announcement that you already know, Mike, and I'll be making.
Yes,
so maybe I should hang back.
We're gonna get
there. That thought. So background. Yes. Background wise, I was the chair of the Mecklenburg County Democratic Party. I'm currently a city council member representing District 5, which is essentially East Charlotte. We have done an awful lot of work within the city to address, affordable housing first and foremost. But during the pandemic, it became very apparent that many people were losing their homes altogether, and we had a burgeoning homeless population. So with the help of federal funding, we were able to work, create programs to address our homeless situation, help those folks not just get roofs over their heads, but provide them with wraparound services as well. And that is something that is not and has not been traditionally the purview of the city. We have traditionally left that up to the county, but recognizing the need, and I wasn't alone in this endeavor. Right. Let me be clear about it. This was a collective effort of council members who saw the need, saw where there were gaps that existed, and understood that we had the ability to make a difference. And that's exactly what we did. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, there's that. Certainly, I'm a tremendous proponent of infrastructure, of improvements to our transit system, particularly in the areas of highest need. For the city of Charlotte, that is East and West Charlotte, building those connectors. Now, whether it be full-fledged public transit or alternatively other forms of connection, greenways, trails, bike connectors, pedestrian connectors, those are all important. That's all inclusive when I talk about infrastructure and transportation improvements. And we're working really hard right now on a full-fledged regional transit. We're calling it the Regional Transit Network. So that's some of the more recent work through the city that I've been involved in. Of course, you know, more specifically in East Charlotte, everyone knows about Eastland. A lot of folks know about the Varnedroid
right.
building. So the redevelopment projects there, the economic development, whether that be new jobs or just simply transitionary work through workforce development efforts, ways that we're going to bolster our side of town and make sure that current residents and future residents have a brighter future in District 5. Kind of going back in time, you recall my work strengthening our Citizens Review Board. My firm
right.
took an active approach to overseeing and conducting expungement seminars as well as expungement clinics. I've worked to address the needs of domestic violence victims in the past. So I think those are some of the things that kind of come to front of mind. Certainly been a proponent of ensuring that we have lapel cameras on our police officers, and also working towards passing the Ban the Box initiative. And that all occurred, by the
right,
way, before
Box.
I was a city council
yes.
member. Yeah.
Yes.
So all those types of things to ensure that people have equal opportunity, institute real equity within our systems of government, and provide people, even if you make a mistake, provide people with opportunities to rebound and be productive in their lives. That's so important. I saw it mm-hmm. time and again in my practice, once again, as an attorney in both civil and criminal court, where folks found themselves in a downward spiral that they couldn't recover from because the system didn't give them the opportunity to do it.
Right. Come to mind, I was thinking about who you were running against first time I met you. It was Mel Watts you were running
yes.
against.
Yes.
Mel
yeah, that,
Watts.
Very long time
which
ago.
Which was no way you were going to win that, coming out, just being born. And I just still eat a pablum, but you were going to run against Mel Watts.
if you can believe it, I did remain optimistic until election night. but
yes,
you know,
yes, I'm sure you did.
I'll tell you, when you're young, you know, you're full of energy, you're full of hope and aspiration, and I acted on all of those things back
yes.
then. I think I've gotten a little bit more experience under my belt. I'm certainly. I have a little bit more of a sense of, you know, the needs of the community, and
yes.
I'm a little bit more measured and deliberate in my approach. Yes.
Well, you know, yeah, but see, all the things you were saying when you were running were absolutely needed, and they were absolutely
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was that they people, including myself. Just threw that all away because, I mean, we didn't even listen to what you were saying because you said this is just complete nonsense coming from this little babe in still in the carriage here when we got Mel Watt here.
Yep.
So the thing is that, but everything you said, what you were saying, all of it was true. The problem is that no one actually took you serious. And they should have. Because you did, and that's what I was saying about Donald J. Trump. Everything he says are lies. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
but here's the thing, that they believe it, not they, there are a certain amount, there's very few people believe what this man says. He has the loudest voice in the room, so therefore he gets the most attention. The squeaky wheel gets all the attention. That's what he is. He's a loud, squeaky, rusty wheel. So people hear all that attention, and they don't pay attention to anybody else. The problem is that the GOP doesn't have anybody else, and they put themselves
yeah.
in this position. They put themselves in a position. They can't blame Democrats for this. They put themselves in because they sold their soul to the squeaky wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So now
mm-hmm.
We only get what we deserve. If people don't get out and vote, no matter what this man is saying, if they don't get out and vote, and realistically, it's not the president we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about the state Democrat and state Republican bodies and the city, the Senate of the state and the Senate of the Republican and the Senate for the Democrats, because that's who runs the states, not the president. And Trump now sees that. He now sees that. Look, he tried to overthrow the government, but he saw now that, hey, I need to get all my hands in the state and Senate parties of each state. Then I can win. They'll automatically give it to me. So this is the problem, what we need now, and we got to make sure that judges don't get involved with this shenanigans that this man is trying. That's what he tried to do with the judges. Get all the judges in his, under his wing. So when all the laws he violates and they come to him, they say, oh, there's no laws violated. And he thinks that's what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. But I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I do not think that Roberts wants to be in charge of the court that got rid of all this. I think he has an idea that he wants to be remembered as someone who did good and not someone who was a monster and destroyed the Supreme Court and the United States. So I don't think that this is ever going to happen. And we need people, as I said, we need judges who are going to be fair and judges who are going to look to tell people, look, this is the law. We're not making this up as we go along. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so to address
what is,
the comment, yeah, I recall running in, it was like 10 or 12 years ago, wasn't it, Mike? I recall running on a platform of strengthening public education, strengthening housing for all. Our healthcare system was so important to me, and ensuring that everybody had access to the medical services they needed, and weren't being didn't have to find themselves choosing between food or medicine. So all those things, I think, even today, right? I mean, we're talking about the same issues today. Still very, very important.
Isn't that strange?
I don't want to take anything away from. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from all of the efforts of Mr. Watt. I think he was a fantastic representative in his own right, addressing many of those, all of those issues. But it is interesting because we're still talking about
but
the same thing.
There were different issues.
And the people still have the same needs.
That there were different issues back then we were worried about. There were different issues we were worried about back then. That's only 10, 12, 15 years ago.
There
wasn't in each time. But you see, we had someone came in like this criminal from New York who wanted to make everything in his name, in his eyes only. I want to be the leader, and I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to change everything. Where he wants to be like the president of China, prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Not the prime minister, but he's the president of China. He wants to be like him, where he's the president for life. Where if he doesn't say it so, it isn't so.
Yeah,
and we can't,
a dictator.
He was,
yeah, he wants to be an emperor. I think he has.
Absolutely.
So I feel like he has this base of populism support that just feeds on sensationalism, right? They're attracted to, and let's be clear about this. This guy was a reality TV star, right? Let's go back.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was real about it? Nothing.
This guy came from.
That's right. And nothing was real about it. We're kind of find out the whole thing was set up in the first place.
Yeah,
Every single person that was set up.
Yeah, I think I look at it and I feel like that's where we are, right? We're kind of and I don't know if this was always the case, but we're in a greater connected I think world community than we've ever been before because of the internet. Social media is so dominant in our lives and isn't, you know, fair and balanced. Let's be clear about that, right?
So there are ways that
the spin can be perpetrated on our population without people even realizing it. And that sense of sensationalism, I think, is attractive, particularly to that base that he panders to. So I feel like, you know, that has kind of contributed to the perfect storm. Now, having said that, you know, let's not forget, hey, we got elections next year, right? Just about everything's on the ballot.
Absolutely. And so that's,
you know, that's where we as a people have our voices heard. And for us, you know, here in our area, I mean, we're talking a state. So we're talking a U.S. Senate race. We're talking congressional races. We're talking county commission races, city council. I mean, all the way down the ticket, just about everything is going to be on the ballot.
How many seats are up on the city council and the county commission? Are all of them up?
All of them. Yes, all of them.
All of them. All
yeah.
Oh, this is going to be
all of them.
Oh, this is going to be full blown now.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a marathon going into and voting next year. But it's so important that's the thing. And my hope is that we have good voter turnout, because I think that makes all the difference in the world. We know when the voters go to the polls, they make the right decision.
Right.
So it's a matter of ensuring that voters have that fair and open access to the polls. They know, right, about the election as it's occurring. We're going to have 2 weeks of early vote, which I think is fantastic. My hope is that we have vote over the weekends, early vote over the weekends, so we can have souls to the polls. Next year it can't be. I mean, I know it's so cliche, isn't it, Mike? Because every 2 years we say the same thing. You know, this is the defining election of our generation or of the decade. I really think next year it like that is saying is going to, at least locally, everything will be on the ballot next year.
Well, the thing is that I think that we here in Mecklenburg County are very lucky that the Democrats run Mecklenburg County, because the state is run by the GOP, more or less. But since Mecklenburg County is so necessary for the entire state, they don't mess with us too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked this question a long, long time ago, before I even met you, when I first came down here, 94, 99, 93. But no, I couldn't come down with my house, but I had to wait 7 years. But I asked the question, why, I mean, if this is the case, why isn't Mecklenburg County where the state capital is? Since we were the largest county in the state, and we contributed more to the state than any other county does. I mean, I don't understand that. Now, I still don't understand.
I guess the only, I mean, if I think back, New York City is not the capital of New York, right? It's Albany, right?
No, it's Albany, right.
I wonder if it has something to do with, you know, kind of the settlement of the 13 colonies and maybe where they first started. I don't know. I mean, it's a really great point because the economy of North Carolina is driven in large part to what's happening in Mecklenburg. Not to say that the entire state isn't important, because I mean we're all in this together. Right, we succeed collectively as a unit, and it's unfortunate that you know not everybody views it that way. But but having said that, yes, to your point, a lot of the resources I think of the state do manifest themselves in Mecklenburg County, and then it kind of works out.
Especially the banks.
I don't have an answer. Yes. Yes. But I don't have an answer.
Especially the banks.
I don't know why it is that way. Yeah.
The thing is that here in Mecklenburg County, we have, it's just like in throughout the Democratic Party, they fight so much over such small little bull. The Democrats do fight over such small little stuff, but they're not as bad as the National Party because they will vote and get things done. But they will fight over small, because there's such small differences in what they want. And I guess that's the reason why it seems like they're fighting all the time here in Mecklenburg, because we live here. But they fight over things because they basically agree on almost everything. So the thing is that what I would like to see is to get rid of this state GOP control. But there's so many of these little honky-dunk localities throughout North Carolina that they have no idea, even some of them don't have no idea that this is the 21st century. They're still operating as if it was 1945. And that's the reason why we have GOP control in the state.
That and gerrymandering.
We got the gerrymandering because they control the state. If they didn't control the state, we wouldn't have gerrymandering.
Yes.
It's a vicious cycle, right? So the thing is that the dog's chasing the tail but can't catch the tail. But the thing is that there needs to be some sort of way where we don't have gerrymandering districts anymore. There needs to be a separate organization or a separate group that fixes who's in what spot. We cannot, because this is completely ludicrous. This is the tail wagging the dog. We can't have these people who still think it's 1945 run cities like Mecklenburg County. We can't have that.
A true independent redistricting authority or commission.
Absolutely, that just
does it by the book and not by politics or political, drawing the lines for political ideology.
Do you think that should be set up by judges, or who should it be set up by?
Well, I think it would be set up by a General Assembly with integrity. Unfortunately, I don't know if we're there. It starts next year.
We're not there.
I think that's how that would work.
We need five seats. We need five seats.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
hey. We have. So,
how is that
so
impossible?
To be clear, there are more Democrats in this state than Republicans. I think when you look at the numbers, there are more independents that lean Democrat than lean Republican as well. So why, if we're talking about representative government, why are there more Republicans representing the population? And it's clear it's because of the way when they got into office, the way that these maps have been drawn. Even now, these new maps, So I'm of course more familiar with Mecklenburg County, but these new maps, you know, are even worse than the old ones. We have a state senator who is being drawn out, and that was purposeful. Let me be clear about that too, Mike.
Of course,
he is being purposefully drawn out, and I know about some of the conversations that occurred there, and it's bad. It's really bad. I hope that people come around. I do feel like when people vote and they get to the polls, I do feel like that's when we're at our strongest. And so it's a matter of ensuring that people get to the polls and vote. And next year's election is going to be March 8th. And I don't know if that's going to throw some folks. So we got to do a really good job of spreading the word, get to the polls. Certainly there's early vote for a two-week – in Mecklenburg, there'll be early vote for a two-week period prior to March 8th. But folks, if they don't get out the early vote, get to the polls on March 8th.
Right.
Spread the word. March 8th next year, get to the polls.
Okay. Now, before – I know you got to go, but here's the thing. I want to ask this one last question. I believe that of all the people we vote for, judges should be at the top of the list above the governor. You know, when you start voting, first thing you do is the governor. I think judges – and the reason why you see a judge before you see a governor.
Yeah.
All judges need to be at the top of the list, from the Supreme Court of the state all the way down to the district judges. Needs to be at the top of the list, then the governor, because we see them a lot quicker then we see the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we get that done? How do we change the voting apparatus that we vote for?
So the ballot.
We can change the ballot, right.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The way it's set up right now is, you know, people are tired by the time they get to the bottom of the ballot, right?
Maybe it's better.
So much like, you know, going to see a show, right? It's, you know, the final act is the anchor, right? You have the acts up front that kind of warm up the crowd, right? And then you get to the more popular acts later. And maybe our ballot should be organized that way because I feel like, you know, we have the more popular races that at the top of the ballot, and when people vote on those, they're pretty much, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say that they then kind of lose their attention as they move kind of further down, and many people just don't vote at all. Right. People just walk out of the polls then. So that's a really great idea.
Governor won't vote for anybody else. I think it's been over the last 15 years that the Secretary of State's got more votes than the governor. How is that even possible?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because they went directly over anybody.
I don't know.
They went to the vote for the Secretary of State. They won't vote government. For anybody else. But
yeah.
that's how it's been. Okay? Now, and that's why Trump wanted to get through the governors, the Secretary of State, because he knew they control how the voting went.
Yeah,
that's
your point,
I think
what you're saying, so kind of the underscoring kind of this conversation is your point that our judges are really important, right? And we shouldn't lose sight of their work and the importance of that work. So we live
right.
in a system of checks and balances. Right. Nobody has absolute or should not have absolute power and control. In effect, nobody's above the law. That's what Trump wants to be. Right. And that's not America.
Yes.
So we have this system of checks and balances, and the courts are the check on our legislative branch of government. They're the ones that oversee the meaning of law, but also the constitutionality of the law.
Right.
The General Assembly could pass anything that they want. It doesn't mean that it's legal. And so it's the courts that make those decisions and throw illegal laws out. Good example of that, by the way. So speaking of the courts, you know, a few years back, the General Assembly decided that it wanted to segment the county. So Mecklenburg County has been one judicial district for as long as I can remember, and there's a reason for that. It's because the judges oversee cases from the entire county, right?
So it
makes a lot of sense that they would be elected countywide. Well, because we have more Democrats throughout the county, we have more independents that lead Democrat in the county, it was hard, if not impossible, for Republicans to win district court judge races.
Right.
So what the General Assembly did was they segmented the county up into different districts. Now, when they did that, you know, it had the force of law. It didn't necessarily mean it was legal, and it got challenged in the Supreme Court of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Overruled that by saying it was unconstitutional and therefore unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have some elections subject to those individual districts. There were some Republicans that got elected because of that, but now we've reverted back due to the oversight of the courts on the legislative branch and their decision. We have now reverted back to countywide. And I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a blue wave, at least in Mecklenburg County, when it comes to district court judge races next year. And maybe that's a good segue into my announcement.
Well, I tried to set it up that way.
So here it is. Here it is. Everybody, you're going to want to sit down for this. As Mike was saying, my name is Matt Newton. I'm an attorney of over 15 years. I've tried cases in both civil and criminal court, both state and federal court, over that full extent of time, hundreds of cases. I know the ins and outs of the courtroom, a motion procedure, a trial procedure, sentencing, pleadings, orders, you have it. I will be running for district court judge next year. I will be running for a seat that has been held by a Republican for 10 years. And will actually be a vacant seat, but nevertheless, we want to make sure that we turn that seat blue. So it does mean, you know, I've been a city councilman in the city of Charlotte for 4 years now. Our elections got slightly delayed this year, so I will be serving slightly over two terms, but running for judge does mean that I will not be running for re-election to the District 5 city council seat. But I do feel like my services and talents will be better served in the judicial seat. We're going to have a number of vacancies, and we need good people to fill them.
Absolutely correct. Now, everybody heard that. Matt Newton is not running for his District 5 seat. He's running for, is that 26C?
Yeah, so
is that 26C?
It's 26. The way it works is that you don't, so unlike other elections where you have, where you could potentially have multiple seats that are the same, and a group of people run for them, and then the top vote getters get selected to those seats. When it comes to running for district court, you select the seat that you're running for, and so the seat names are a reflection of the judges who either are currently sitting in them or last sat in them, and so the seat I'll be running for is the Osmond seat.
Okay, the Osmond seat. Okay. Very good. All right.
Go ahead. It'll be me running for judge next year for the vacant Osmond seat. And everyone can go to www.mattnewtonforjudge.com to find out more. You can donate to the campaign there. You can endorse the campaign there. You can request a yard sign to be delivered to your in Mecklenburg County. so be clear about this.
And besides that, I never got the information about donation. My wife got it.
For folks in Buncombe County or folks in New Hanover, or if you're up in the Durham and Chapel Hill area, we can work something out for a sign. I don't think I'll be able to deliver it to your doorstep, but in Mecklenburg County for sure.
Okay. All right. Matt, I want to thank you for giving us this time, and you're welcome on the show anytime to give us live updates of what's happening with your departure and your new beginning.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right. Everybody, just remember that Matt Newton will be running for the Osmond seat, and that is March 8th, did you say?
March 8th, yes, sir. There will be two
March
weeks 8th. Of early vote leading up to that. So I always say early vote is easy vote. The lines are a lot shorter. You can really do it on a much more flexible schedule. So I like to go early vote.
The final day will be on March 8th.
So early vote or March 8th.
Okay, everybody. Have a great weekend, because it feels like a weekend to me. This is a Wednesday I'm recording this. But anyway, all right, everybody, I got to go. Matt's got to go. We'll talk about this again on Friday, because I'm going to play this on Friday. And we'll hear from everybody that wants to vote for Matt Newton. You know where to go. And I will be repeating it again on Friday. Okay, Matt, thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, that was Matt Newton, the interview we had with Matt Newton this past Wednesday. And he would have been live, but he had something important to do this Friday, so today. So the man knows a lot. And it's about time that we get somebody who's appointed to a position that he knows. Not that he's appointed because his cousin is the governor, or his cousin is the lieutenant governor, or his cousin is related to somebody in public office. Those people are a dime a dozen. I want everybody to listen and vote for the Osmond seat this coming March the 8th. Because Matt Newton will be running for that position. And guess what? When he leaves, when he's, I don't know how old, it'll be called the Newton seat. The Osmond seat is what you need to vote for Matt Newton. www.mattnewton.com. Give me a call or give him a call, and you can talk to Matt Newton. Everybody have a great weekend. Let's listen to Prince.
Yeah. Where the night has come and the land is dark, y la luna es la luz que brilla ante mí. Miedo no, no tendré, oh guapo, me asustaré. Just as long as you stay, stand by me.
Sorry, this was not Prince. As you can hear.
Darling, junto a mí, junto a mí, entonces.